You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, May 2nd, 8 a.m. Summit of Mount Baldy, Ridgeline Trail, South Eugene. An artfully hand-carved bench sits on Mount Baldy's grassy summit overlooking Eugene's south hills and below to the city's center. Beyond that, green agricultural land stretches to Fern Ridge Reservoir and into the Coast Range. Behind me, the Cascades rise from a bucolic checkerboard of farmland and roads. Despite intense, frequent rainstorms, migrant songbirds have been returning to our area in great numbers and staking out territories, adding their melodic repertoire of chirps, whistles, and warbles to the rustling of new leaves. Male Pacific tree frogs respond to the wet, warm weather by blending their oversized voices, one by one, joining in a rhythmic chorus that builds to a crescendo, only to stop abruptly in response to some veiled impulse. Remnant forest and populations of wildflowers cling to this protected hillside. Scotch broom and a spreading herb known as Stinky Bob are found here also and can easily displace the natives. A helicopter sprayed this mountain summit as well as some of the residential areas below a few days ago to prevent the spread of invasive gypsy moths. This spraying is always controversial, even though the active ingredient BTK is a naturally occurring soil bacteria that only affects the caterpillars of butterfly and moth species during the spray and has been approved for organic farming. The alternatives are even more disturbing. Gypsy moths were first brought into Massachusetts from Europe in 1869 by a man who intended to develop a disease-resistant silkworm. Some of his experimental subjects escaped. Gypsy moths now infest much of the northeastern U.S. These invaders can spread and increase their numbers rapidly. They are easily satisfied, feeding on a wide range of trees and shrubs. Populations can rapidly build into large infestations, causing widespread defoliation, weakening, and sometimes killing trees. This makes forests susceptible to disease and fire. Because they have no natural enemies, their populations can become large enough to become a nuisance, crawling seemingly everywhere. Some people suffer from allergic reactions when they come into contact with the hairs of the caterpillar. Meanwhile, fears of a swine flu pandemic have been making headlines all over the world for the last few weeks. Viruses inhabit the mysterious border between the living and the non-living. Outside of a living cell, they appear to be nothing more than inert chemicals. But once inside, they come to life, hijacking the cell's biochemical machinery for their own genetic ends, replicating themselves in countless numbers. Viruses mutate easily. In this case, a virus that was infecting pigs raised on large farms seems to have found a way to jump to humans. The reason that this is so potentially dangerous is that we have no immunity to newly evolved viruses. Many of the microorganisms that now travel within all of our bodies and even benefit our health began as deadly diseases. A successful parasite eventually learns to live with its host, establishing a neutral relationship, or even one that is mutually beneficial. If the host dies, the invasive organism usually dies with it. The landscape below me has changed radically over the last 200 years. Oak savanna, wetland prairies, and riparian forests that existed for centuries are all but eradicated. At first European contact, the estimated Kalapuya population was 15,000. By the mid-1800s, disease reduced that number to just 600. Devastation brought by introduced diseases led to the collapse of an entire ancient society, along with a tremendous wealth of tradition and knowledge. Rain clouds have parted briefly, allowing shafts of new sunlight to illuminate small portions of the valley with a half dozen gradually shifting spotlights. Vaporous columns of steam rise from wooded hillsides. Purple iris pokes through brambly ground where invasive blackberries have been recently hacked away to make room for a native flora that has been crowded out by aggressive immigrants. The Fern Ridge Wings and Wine Festival is on Saturday, May 10th. It was created for the purpose of building awareness of the migratory birds in the Fern Ridge area and of the ecological nature of the reservoir. Activities include bird walks, ecology walks, wine tasting tours, and a gourmet dinner at the Secret House Winery. Events start at 7 a.m. and conclude with a catered dinner hosted at the Secret House Wine Cellar at 6 p.m. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y, at msn.com.